Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Fast Amaya, good evening. It's 5:30. This is an update for Tuesday, 11th of May, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the island and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. The ninth day of no new cases. Just 9 active cases. One person is currently in Noble's ICU. We've got a new chief minister in the autumn. What if the Isle of Man Bank closes? What happens to the notes? Liverpool landing stage is going to cost more. And what's going on in Castletown? All on this flume-free Tuesday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. Fast Amaya, Tessa Hawley.
Fast Amaya, no cases of COVID-19 have been identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. The number of active cases stands at 9. It's the ninth consecutive day where no new cases have been detected. Work on the Ben McCree has been delayed, with the vessel not expected to return to service until the end of May. Inspections, whilst the boat has been in dry dock, have identified that specialist third-party work is needed to repair the stern tube bearings. The Chief Minister says his decision to stand down from politics honours a pledge he made to his family. Howard Quayle will not seek re-election in September after spending 10 years as an MHK for Middle and 5 years as the Chief Minister. Further afield, a coroner has ruled 10 people shot dead in West Belfast in 1971 were innocent and their deaths were without justification. A priest and a mother of 8 were among those killed in Ballymurphy during a British Army operation against the IRA. The Prime Minister's promised a public inquiry into the government's handling of coronavirus in the next parliamentary session. They normally last about a year or so. He said it as he talked about the laws his ministers will look to pass in the coming months, a programme Labour has called disappointing. And the Brits take place tonight. Many of the tickets for the audience of 4,000 went to key workers. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Tessa. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there is no warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On the Isle of Man this evening, scattered showers on a light south-southeasterly, likely towards dusk. Then intermittent showers through the night, down to 7 degrees. For Wednesday, tomorrow, Jacrain, cloudy to kick off with, then sunny with a light breeze and 15 degrees. Overnight low 6 into Thursday. Jordan, showery to start with again, then dry and bright, and top temperature 14 on Thursday. Low waters at 26 minutes to 7 tonight. Sunset 8 minutes past 9. High water 24 minutes to 1 a.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning 21 minutes past 5. And the morning low water at 8 minutes to 7.
Having a new kitchen fitted or just fancy a change? Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke coloured splashbacks to complete the look. Speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing today.
So, no new cases of COVID-19 identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. Alex Watton with the details.
The number of active cases stands at 9, and it's now the ninth day in a row without a new case. One person with the virus remains in the intensive care unit at Noble's Hospital. Of the active cases, one has been detected from travel, 5 are from a known source and 2 from an unknown source. The vaccine numbers, more than 76,900 doses have now been administered. First doses have now surpassed 61,000, with the number of second doses nearing 16,000.
Howard Quayle, MHK, will not be standing for re-election this September in the House of Keys general election. After 10 years in politics and 5 as the Isle of Man's chief minister, Mr. Quayle has been reflecting on the challenges of just the past 5 years.
Up until a certain event happening called COVID, we had the economy balanced and we're building up a modest surplus, and we're on track to have enough of a surplus to cover the pension deficit, and we've obviously reviewed the pension liability. So going forward, the fund is sustainable. So that was the aims. But then along came all sorts of things like beneficial ownership, which was a massive job. But that was behind the scenes. People didn't see that or understand the seriousness of the situation, which in a way is a good thing. But they obviously saw Brexit, again, a massive amount of work. But that was overtaken. You know, we've had a really good outcome for the Isle of Man, but that was overtaken by COVID. But I think, yes, I'm honouring a pledge, but equally, the back will be broken on it. We'll be living with COVID probably for the rest of our lives, but with a vaccine and the way we've come through it as an island, I think as an island, yes, it will be still around, but by the end of September, all the heavy lifting, fingers crossed, has been done, and the next administration can move on and deal with the other challenges that are coming our way.
Well, you mentioned that pledge. Did you ever consider changing it, altering that plan as the situation unfolded with COVID?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really flattering. One of the nicest things that's happened to me recent is an awful lot of people have realised that I was going to honour the two-term only pledge to my family. And I think sometimes you can become stale if you stay in politics too long. Maybe you start looking over your shoulder and coming up with policies that are short-term, popular short-term, but not right for the island long-term. And I never wanted to fall into that trap. So I think it's important that I've done my two terms. I've given it my absolute all. Now's the time for someone to come up and take the island forward, hopefully inheriting good, firm foundations.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
23 minutes before six, the infrastructure minister has had to once again defend his department over the cost of the Liverpool terminal scheme. The implications of COVID-19 have already put £5 million on the project, protecting the quay wall at Prince's half-tide dock against the steam packet's new vessel's powerful bow thrusters will add to the cost. Tim Baker, MHK, was pushed by Julie Edge and Laurie Hooper, the MHKs, over whether or not his department was aware that the new purchase would hit the public pocket.
I wonder if the minister is able to advise whether or not the additional costs that are now resulting from the purchase of this particular vessel were actually made aware to the steam packet at the time they made this decision, and actually was the department aware of what the steam packet was proposing in terms of the additional costs that would result from the purchase of this particular type of vessel?
The detailed design of the ship that the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company decided to procure is entirely a matter for them. The obligation on the department is to ensure that the scour protection scheme adequately protects the landlord's investment. Now, clearly, there is a connection between the types of boats and the scour implications, but there was no ability for the department to interfere in the steam packet company's and arm's length body's vessel purchase decision.
Final supplementary, Ms. Edge.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Whilst the minister feels there's no opportunity for the department to interfere, totally accept that. But clearly, when it becomes an additional cost to the Manx taxpayer, and at what point did you establish that? And also, is there going to be any increased cost to the people of the Isle of Man for Heysham with this new vessel, or hasn't he looked into that as yet? Because quite clearly, it wasn't on the radar prior to them purchasing this new vessel.
Just to reiterate, we're still doing the detailed design of the scour protection scheme for the quay wall in Liverpool. So nobody can be definitive at this point in time as to the design of the scheme or indeed of the cost.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The high-speed craft Mananan left Heysham at 4 minutes past two today, docked in to Douglas shortly after 4:15. Next departure tomorrow morning, 8:45, arriving in Heysham at 11 o'clock, departing at 2:15 and back on the island at about 4:30. As you heard in the news, Mananan's covering the Ben McCree's current period of overhaul, which is due to finish the day after tomorrow. It's now the end of the month, so at least another 3 weeks. Currently, the motor ship Arrow is providing the freight service.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
The big news on the Isle of Man today is the Chief Minister Howard Quayle is standing down. He won't seek re-election at the House of Keys general election, so we'll be getting a new Chief Minister. Reaction from the Policy and Reform Minister, Ray Harmer.
It's absolutely no surprise. I knew the number of MHKs stand for a particular purpose, and 5 years ago, it's very clear to me that the Chief Minister was only going to do 5 years, because for this particular time, it was difficult. We thought it was a difficult time with Brexit, but obviously that's paled in insignificance with the change in obviously COVID, but also actually the clarity of the climate change emergency and other issues that have come to the fore. So it's not a surprise, and I just wish him all the best for the future.
It begs the question: are you standing?
Well, that's you'll see an announcement very, very shortly on that. But I suspect there won't be any surprises.
It's going to be a bun fight, though, isn't it, in Peel and Glenfavor?
Well, the thing is about an election, I think it's really important that people get a choice, that people that people have an opportunity. The more, in a way, the better candidates, the better, because it's about the people. We serve for a five-term and that's it, and then we go back and then we say, right, okay, this is a fresh term, and it's all that matters is what's best for Glenfavor and Peel and for the nation. Everything else is pretty irrelevant.
Really. Manx Radio Business Briefing.
19 minutes before 6, copper prices have soared to an all-time high, breaking the previous record hit in 2011. Despite softened demand from China, which accounts for half of the world's demand for the metal, prices have doubled in the past year. Bets around the recovery of industrial economies have been supported by this surge, as well as efforts to cut carbon emissions around the world. Copper is a very cost-effective conductor of heat and electricity, and therefore highly used in renewable energy systems. Electric vehicles will be cheaper to manufacture than cars running on petrol or diesel within the next 6 years, according to a forecast from the data company New Energy Finance. Cheaper batteries and dedicated production lines will ensure that by 2026, the cost of producing electric saloons and SUVs will be lower than cars with an internal combustion engine. Smaller models may reach cost parity a year later, the report found. Research from the investment bank UBS suggested the cost of making electric vehicles will be similar to conventional cars in 2024. And the world's biggest truck makers, Volvo and Daimler Truck, are banking on hydrogen trucks to become the future of long-distance transport, as they expect hydrogen to take off as a fuel between 2027 and 2030.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed sharply lower, dragged down by travel and leisure shares. The euro rose, oil reversed course and turned positive. Gold rose with investors awaiting US consumer price data to gauge inflation. In corporate news, Renishaw was the standout loser following a report it's struggling to attract investor interest due to a high valuation and list of ownership demands. Ramsey Crookall reporting the close at in London at the FTSE 100 at 5 o'clock, down 2.5% at 6,947. The DAX in Frankfurt down 1.8% at 15,119. Currently New York City, Ramsey Crookall report the Dow Jones Industrial down 1.3%, 34,280. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.6% at 13,324. And in the Midwest, in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 1% at 4,146. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 41.4 cents, €1 16.2 cents, and 19 South African rand 78.9 cents. And in commodities, gold down 0.1%, $1,832 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 0.1% at $68.30.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Treasury Minister says he won't stand in the way of changing banking habits. Alfred Cannon was quizzed in The Keys today about the implication of virtual banks entering society. The Garth MHK Martin Perkins questioned the implications of the issue of government banknotes if the Isle of Man Bank were to close all its offices. It's something Mr. Cannon says he wasn't bothered about.
The Isle of Man Bank operates in an intermediary capacity for the government in this regard, and should this unlikely event occur, the Treasury would consider the options available to it, including whether other bodies could act in a similar intermediary role.
Supplementary question, Mr. Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. COVID has clearly accelerated massive change in the banking situation, and I think we all recognise the old days of the Manx cat money box for encouraging youngsters to save have long gone by. And these days, all banks seem to want to railroad their customers into doing away with cash over the counter and operate virtually. And what is the Minister's opinion in the fast-changing... What can we do about the fast-changing situation of virtual banks entering into our society and the public having to adopt to that?
Well, we've moved on somewhat. That escalated quickly, I think is the expression. Treasury Minister...
Well, I don't think one should try and stand in the way of change, Mr. Speaker. It is our responsibility, I think, to ensure that we adapt and we ensure that society is properly adapted to changes and advances in the way that businesses, particularly in the banking sector, and are structured and the way that technology is moving on.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Good afternoon, Fastamai. Corinthians have become the most successful women's football team ever on the Isle of Man. The side was crowned Ladies Canada Life Women's League champions for the 2020-2021 season at the weekend after beating second place in the table Peel 1-0. It is the eighth league title win for the squad, making it a record-making season for the women's side. In athletics, and two Manx athletes held their own with dominating personal best performances at the latest Trafford Grand Prix in Manchester. David Malarkey and Sarah Aston were in action in the 5,000-metre races. Both ran personal best times, dipping under 14 and 16 minutes respectively for the very first time. The two races were very similar, with the leader running away from the rest of the field and the Manx athletes being at the head of the following packs. The women ran first, and after Jenny Nesbitt broke into a clear lead, Sarah was one of several athletes to take turns at leading the chasing pack. She was always on target to break the 16-minute barrier, and as the field fragmented a little on the last couple of laps, she crossed the finish line in sixth place in a time of 15 minutes and 59.13 seconds. If ratified, this time will be a new Isle of Man record, taking 7.27 seconds off the mark set by Rachel Franklin last year. And also significantly, this gives her another Commonwealth Games consideration time and is way inside the standard of 16 minutes and 15 seconds. It was almost a replica in the men's race. Tom Mortimer cleared off into a big lead by mid-race. David was always in amongst the next group. He looked really strong, and as the race unfolded in a similar pattern to the women's race, he finished sixth, just as Sarah had done. His time of 13 minutes and 56.52 seconds was only 6.4 seconds shy of the Isle of Man record set by Keith Gerrard in 2012, and makes David only the second Manx athlete to break the 40-minute mark for the distance. And further afield in netball, long-serving players Serena Guthrie and Jade Clark have held onto their spots in England's 2021-22 squad as they gear up to defend their Commonwealth gold at Birmingham 2022. Fellow veteran Jeeva Mentor also made the 24-player squad. The Roses won bronze at the 2019 World Cup after losing to eventual winners New Zealand in the semi-final.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
11 minutes before 6, one departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way. The patient transfer Logan Air to Liverpool departed a minute late at 1 minute past 5. Back this evening at 20 to 7 on the roads. Everything's fine on the mountain road tonight. Temporary lights on Richmond Hill come to an end today. But then the main work on the surface water drainage thing happens week on Thursday. Starts Thursday, 20th of May. Until the 24th of July. Orisdale Road in Ballasalla, just north of Ballasalla, is closed for resurfacing, ready for the Southern Show in July. While this is happening, the temporary lights on the main road at Ballasalla are suspended. North end of Douglas Promenade by the MAR tramshed has got some temporary lights for the next 4 weeks or so. They're repairing the sea wall. temporary lights 24 hours a day. Kurt Michael for working on the pavement. Appeal to Kurt Michael. Coast Road's got some temporary lights for resurfacing between Devil's Elbow and Glen Willem. In Ramsey, the section of Parliament Street's closed to make Alden House safe. Diversions via Tower Street and Water Street. Look out also in Ramsey at Glen Elphin Road, South Promenade and Stanley Mount East.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside.
Planning permission's been sought in order to finish replacing the road surface in the heart of Castletown. Plans have been put forward by the DOI, but they've been met with mixed reaction from those with businesses bordering on what will be the site of the work. Here's John Moss.
In Castletown, they have a problem. Malou Street and Arbury Street are in a distressed state. The refurbishment of the pavement in the town and square was completed some years ago, of course, but no work was done then on Malou and Arbury Streets. Now, planning is in for those two thoroughfares to replace and improve. Sounds good. Over the years, the streets have become lumpy and bumpy and the locals grumpy with the loose paving blocks, treacherous to those who are not so spry as they once were.
This is the blocks that are down here. But I understand that one thing that's a problem here is that if you take them up to do anything, any work underneath, very difficult to put them back again and have them in a similar state to that which they were before. Looking along the street here, it's all up and down here. Here's a big lump in there and a sort of dip on the other side, the pavia stones there. And here's a pavia stone that's not well fitted. I could just lift it up there. It's not good.
What do you think of the state of the street at the moment?
Disgusting.
Well, I mean, you've said that with some vehemence. So you think it is disgusting? I mean,
look at it.
What's disgusting about it?
Well, there's nowhere open, is there? No shops open.
But the actual street surface, pavement surface.
Well, it's all uneven. And
Do you find trouble walking along it? And
well, I don't, but I wear flat shoes.
Do you know people who do find
I've
trouble?
I've known quite a few who have fallen in it.
And you spend a fortune on this.
It looks nice, though, doesn't it?
It looks nice, but you try walking on it when it's wet.
Slippery, is it?
Yeah, slippery down through the co-op and all that. I've seen many people go on it.
Has that been pointed out to the authorities?
I don't know. As I said, but it gets very slippery when it's wet, and I've seen people fall on it.
Most will agree that something needs to be done to the distressed surface of the two streets. It's the when and how which are causing a stir. In the shadow of the great fortress, battle lines are being drawn.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Concerns about the condition of the historic crosses at Mackle Churchyard will be raised at a public meeting this coming Friday. Pam Carus is one of those people who has actually called the gathering and amid concerns that the crosses are wearing away.
The Mackled crosses, which many people will know, are of tremendous value, both historically and aesthetically, and they are being left to deteriorate. The curator of the Manx Museum tells us that, and nothing is being done to protect them or even to promote them as the valuable icons they are.
At the moment, they're exposed to the elements.
Yes, indeed. They're in a crosshouse that was built in 1906, but it's open on one side, so any birds can get in, people can get in. They could do cross rubbings, which make the crosses wear out more quickly. They could actually steal them if they were so minded. They're really just not protected at all.
They're also not particularly user-friendly if you're going to go and have a look at them.
Absolutely not. If you want to know about a feature on the crosses, you have to first note that there is a number on the cross, which isn't always obvious, very small, cross to the side of the building and look up the number on a board with very small writing. By the time you've deciphered what you need to know and go back to your cross, you've often forgotten what it is you were trying to find out in the first place.
Why a requisition meeting? That seems quite extreme.
Well, for 17 years now, the church authorities who own the crosses and MNH, Manx National Heritage, who have guardianship over the crosses, have been meeting to discuss how they should be protected and promoted. But they have made no progress. And so I thought it was time that we stepped up as the public to ask what's going on and see if we can't push them along a little bit.
And what's the best result from
this? The best result would be to have a plan. everyone tells me, and I agree with this, it's going to be an expensive operation to build a housing for the crosses which is in accordance with their value. It has to be good. This will be expensive, and we will have to raise money, I imagine. But we can't raise money unless there's a plan to tell people about what we're raising the money for.
And this meeting is on Friday.
Friday, the 14th, this Friday. It's at 7:30 in Mackle Church Hall. And we'd like anyone who's interested to come along.
And more details on that story and all the other stories you've heard tonight and many more at manxradio.com and also on the free Manx Radio app, which if you haven't got already, then make today the day you get it. That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of the Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley and producer Rhiann Evans. If you're listening to this update as a podcast, thank you for making Update the most subscribed to news podcast from the Isle of Man. Wherever in the world you're listening, whatever time of day or night, thank you for being part of the team. Going to be another update tomorrow night, 5:30, live from the Isle of Man. In the meantime, I wish you the best for the rest of your Tuesday. WMAX.